Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On the big show today, Mark Summers and his OCD book. It's coming up in just a minute.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut.
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Mit Wieso Steuer? Bis zum 31. Juli abgeben.
And now, Bob and Tom Television presents The Bonanza Reunion Show.
Hoss? Little Joe? Hoss? Little Joe?
The Bonanza Reunion, only on Bob and Tom Television.
A great way to get your morning started. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Joining us in the studio, he is Mark Summers. I guess is a television personality, one of your hats. Also an author of a great book that I read years ago about your OCD adventures.
Adventures.
Yeah. I mean, it really
Trust
was.
Me. Nice way to put it.
I haven't looked at the book in a while. I remember one of the other things I remember, I'll probably get this wrong, but the essence of it was before you could get on an airplane, you had to go to a certain store window. And am I getting this right?
Yeah.
And you had to read everything before you could get on a plane.
Yeah, you have to do these things, intrusive thoughts, that if you don't read something in a particular way, you'll say, well, the plane's going to go down or something bad's going to happen. So you would find yourself going and doing these repetitive actions over and over again.
And you do know that when you get on a plane, you have to touch the side of the plane with your right hand.
I do that now, thanks.
You're aware
you.
Of that. Okay, I just want to make sure you knew that. It's
See, I use the left hand, so that's...
No wonder. I can't believe you're here with us. What was the other one? Another story I remember from the book, and if I'm getting this right, I think it was your daughter or something was in town, and you didn't have anything to cook, but she wanted a hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
And you tell the story.
Yeah, I was living in New York City, and I was doing a couple of talk shows there, and my kids would come and spend a month at a time with me, and especially in the summertime. So I would go out to dinner every night. I never used my kitchen once, and I said to Meredith in the elevator going down, what would you like to do? And she said, I just want to cook some hot dogs and have dinner at home. And I said, well, I can't do that. I don't have any, you know, pots or pans or anything. And, you know, what do you say to your, at the time, like 9 or 10 year old daughter? So I went to Macy's and spent, you know, $500 in pots and pans. You know, that hot dog cost me, you know, almost $1,000. But yeah, I did it because she wanted it, you know. Well, I think it was the only time I ever used those pots and pans, by the way.
Wow. I do a similar thing now. It's the make your own pizza thing. I'll do with my daughters.
Yeah.
And you go
to...
You
have one of those pizza ovens, like the Uni pizza oven or something?
Yeah, but the thing is, you go to like Whole Foods and you spend $40 buying the stuff to make a pizza.
Yeah.
And you make a pizza that's almost as good as the one you can get for $6.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's so crazy.
Have you used your solo stove pizza oven?
I'm getting ready to.
I got him one for Christmas three years ago.
I've been busy. I have things to do.
I've been busy.
Our guest is Mark Summers. Now, do you? I kind of was walking out of the room when you guys started talking about this, so I didn't hear the answer. Do you do conventions where you go and are they game show people or just all these television people?
No, television people. And it's fascinating. I mean, I went to one recently with Martin Sheen and got to meet him and spend some time with him. Hmm. You know, Priscilla Presley was there. I mean, it's fascinating to me. Who shows up to these things? Weird Al, when we were doing Double Dare, we premiered on the Fox network when they first launched in primetime on weekends. And the first celebrity episode we did was Lou Ferrigno against Weird Al. Okay? Oh, you can imagine. And I hadn't seen Weird Al since then, and there he was, and sure enough, he remembered. And it was hard because you obviously want people to go to the physical challenges. That's what people tune in for. And he answered every question. And I said, hey man, how do you know all the answers to these things? And he said, it's my gig. I remember saying that.
I want to say that Al was the valedictorian of his high school class. I think he's a super smart guy.
Yeah, would not be surprised.
And he's got a great band. If you ever get a chance to see Weird Al live,
he's spectacular.
He has a terrific
band.
They have to know how to play everything.
But they're very good. And like I said, Al's been in here a couple times, and he is a smart dude.
My favorite episode we ever did on Double Dare, though, was Super Slopomania 1. I had Gorilla Monsoon against Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Two of the funniest television personalities of all time.
And brilliant.
Yes.
Bobby the Brain had the best sense of humor and remembered every joke he had ever heard, whether he heard it from you or me or somebody else, he put it in memory. And Gorilla had 2 degrees. He was a brilliant guy, but together they were unbelievable.
Yes.
And at the end they choreographed, they said, do you mind if we get you messy? And the finale of it was I caught them cheating on the obstacle course, and they picked me up and dumped me into this thing of chocolate. I mean, you would not have believed it, but it was an honor to have Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain.
That's so great. They were one of the best comedic duos of all time.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, Dick the Bruiser, when I grew up here back in the day in Indiana where I grew up, he was a local personality, and you know, back then wrestlers were more regional before the WWE became what it became. But I mean, who didn't want to go to those things and observe that whole situation?
Yeah.
You're in the presence of someone who had Bobo Brazil steal their sandwich.
Yeah, my Monte Cristo.
Really?
Yeah, I was working for a local television station, and we would broadcast the wrestling matches, and I had to run camera one time because one of our camera operators couldn't make it. So afterward, we all went out to dinner, you know, at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and here comes Bobo. He walks by me, and he goes, you ain't going to eat that, and grab
really?
My sandwich.
Really? Yeah.
It was interesting because those wrestling guys, they are very athletic, but they tend to have very long careers.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember seeing Mr. Brazil when I was a little kid.
Yeah, and this was, well...
And he'd been doing it for decades.
This was mid-80s.
And as had Dick the Bruiser.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and towards the end, when the WWE dropped Heenan, and then he went to another league and one thing after another, and, they didn't pay those guys much. WWE came to me almost every year and wanted me to become a broadcaster because I had this following with all these people from the Nickelodeon audience, and they thought they would follow me over.
Oh.
But the most they ever offered me was $100,000 a year to be on the road 360 days a year.
No kidding.
Wow. But, that's all those guys made. Heenan and all those guys, they got $100,000. That was pretty much it.
Wow.
And it was very sad towards the end because Bobby didn't have a lot of money, and then he got very sick and, mm-hmm. A sad ending there. And nobody from the organization who had millions of dollars were there to help him in any way, shape, or form. So,
were you ever a guest referee?
No. I never did. I wish I would have been a part of that stuff. But no, and I never thought I would be a good broadcaster of that stuff because I want to do real stuff, and that's why it was always phony, fakey stuff.
Sure.
Entertaining to certain people, not me.
Now, speaking of real, what temperature was the slime?
Well,
Was it freezing cold or?
We would make 100 pounds of fresh whipped cream every day, okay? And when you first get it in the morning, it's cold. And as the day sits under those hot lights, we would fill this tank full of 5,000 pounds of baked beans or whatever. It would, throughout the day, become a little rancid.
Ew.
And one of the worst days we ever had was we put in the baked beans, and after 3 days, you couldn't walk in the studio. It smelled like a garbage pit. So the question is, how do you get rid of 5,000 pounds of baked beans? So we tried to get shovels and put them in these large garbage bags, but the bags kept breaking. So we called in a septic tank guy.
Wow.
The guys would come in with hip waders or whatever.
Hilarious.
And he sucked out the beans. He had no idea why. He said, why do you have 5,000 pounds of beans in there, and it's and he was from Philly and he still talked like that, but nonetheless he sucked all those beans out. So there are stories about we were making it up as we went along, quite honestly.
Is there going to be another episode that you get to host of Double Dare down the road?
I can't imagine. Nickelodeon kind of hardly exists anymore. If it wasn't for SpongeBob, if you ask a kid today what Nickelodeon is, they can't tell you. It's not like,
but wouldn't the folks that were kids back then want to see you do it again?
100%. The people who grew up on it who are in their 40s now would go out of their mind to do a grown-up version of it. But Nickelodeon seems to have no interest in that.
But wouldn't another network?
They would have to buy it from...
MSNBC and Fox finally get together on something. We agree about this.
Oh, man.
Would you do it, Josh? You're in your 40s. You're one of these young men.
Would I go on Double Dare? Absolutely.
That's what I thought.
The last tour we did... We would do the meet and greets backstage, and a lot of times it was people your age coming back, and I'd say, where are the kids? They say, oh, hell, we want to have a good time on our own. They leave the kids at home. And
it was appointment viewing for my family.
Yeah. I was honored to be, you know, whatever Soupy Sales was to me growing up. I was to a particular generation, and it was able to transfer over to Food Network, and the people who started watching me at Nick followed me over there.
I remember specific jokes you did. I remember.
Really?
Yeah. I remember one, you were coming back from break, and they were playing Johnny Winter's the spy song.
Right.
You remember what was that? Oh, Secret Agent Man.
Johnny Rivers.
And you were doing this dance, and I still picture it. And it was as funny as anything I'd ever
It was
seen.
All ad lib. We made it up as we went along.
That's what I loved about it. Even as a kid, I knew.
Did you guys have a meeting prior to each? Because you said you did six in a day.
Did six in a day, and then we would bring kids in from the area and test physical challenges. And if they weren't done at least three times, we weren't allowed to do them. So this is a crazy story. So they did a physical challenge where there was a mailbox, you know, 20 feet on the other side of the stage, and they had paper airplanes. And the thing was, you had to get one airplane in the mailbox. And I said, come on, let's not do this. This is stupid. Nobody can do that. And then the producer said, well, now that you said that, we're going to do it. So the next day, first physical challenge, they bring out a mailbox, and here's 20 paper planes. And I looked at the camera and I said, okay, let me tell you what happened last night. We tried this physical challenge and it couldn't get done. And I said, this is the dumbest idea I've ever seen in my life. So you've got 20 seconds to get a paper airplane into that mailbox. And if you do, I'll give you my house. Okay. On your mark, get set, go. And the first damn airplane went right into the mailbox.
Oh.
Yeah. And that kid really enjoyed my place. True story.
Our guest is Mark Summers, television guy.
You go to autograph shows?
I do. Yeah, I'd like to go to one of the Hallmark conventions because I have my favorites, leads that are. but I've been to I'm mostly horror conventions. Yeah.
H-O-R-R-O-R.
Yes. I've yet to go to the W.
Now, whose autograph would you like that you haven't gotten yet?
I haven't gotten Robert Englund's autograph yet.
Nice, yeah.
Who played Freddy Krueger, of course. But he's also a classically trained actor. That'd probably be number one.
And what would be the most you would spend for an autograph?
Boy, for him, I don't know what he charges, but if it were like a picture with him and an 8x10 signed, I'd pay $80, $100.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what some of these people charge.
Yeah.
People pay it, you know?
It's
mind-boggling.
Listening to everybody, they seem to really enjoy it. The celebrities seem to really enjoy it because they're just beloved.
Yeah.
They're just
surrounded
by love.
I mean, people say
the
nicest things.
Yeah.
And you can't believe you had that much of an impact on a particular, you know, group of humans.
Yeah.
And it is flattering, I will say that.
And the horror conventions are interesting because you'd think they'd be, you know, well, yeah, there's a lot of weirdos and misfits and stuff, but it's the most positive place. They're not, there's nothing dark about it. It's all very, very celebratory and happy. It's interesting.
I went with them to see Elvira.
Oh, yeah, I got my picture with Elvira, yeah.
Known her for years. I was a warm-up guy on Alice, and she used to do a lot of bit parts on there all the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Nice lady. Very nice. Oh,
yeah.
Do you do those?
The
autograph things?
Yeah. My next one is in Minneapolis, first weekend of November.
And do you personalize them as, you know, to Bill?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, you know, they have handlers there, thank heavens, because people want to sit and talk to you for 15 minutes and tell you stories about the time they build an obstacle course in their dining room and their parents wanted to have them put to sleep and things like that. And, you know, you have to be nice, but on the same token, the longer you talk, that's the fewer you sign. And, you know,
you get paid on a per autograph
per
basis.
Autograph. Exactly. And then I bring merchandise. I have all the merchandise from the last Nickelodeon tour. So I bring that stuff and stuff, t-shirts and sweatshirts and hats and, you know.
But you don't have your own line of shoes.
No, I do not.
Not yet.
Reeboks. That was our
show. There you go. Reebok. Yeah.
That's a tough merch. You have to have all the sizes.
Yeah.
A
lot of
I wonder if anybody does that.
Man, that's a tough
What is the oddest, like, rock band merch that's out there? Mm. There have to be some weird things out
I would
there.
Imagine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Dunham sells his puppets.
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he does.
Yes.
Really?
That man is worth a fortune.
Yes,
okay?
Yeah.
He's a very smart man, too. Very smart man.
He seems to be.
And his following is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And ventriloquism, since America's Got Talent, has exploded. You know, there were several years there where nobody knew what a ventriloquist was, and now they're seemingly all over the place, in Vegas especially.
Did you have any puppets? I know you were a magician as a kid. Did you have Jerry Mahoney or Knucklehead Smith?
I wasn't particularly good at it. I did have a dinner with Paul Winchell before he passed away, and that was quite fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah, he was.
Paul Winchell was a scientist also, besides being a ventriloquist. He worked on heart valve technology. Artificial
now, would he make like a sandwich talk or anything?
That'd be hilarious.
I can't tell you what he may talk.
He is Mark Summers. Mark is an actor, a comedian, a voiceover guy.
Sure.
And he's got a great book out there called Everything in Its Place. Terrific, his story about, as I said earlier, his adventures with OCD. I remember hearing, didn't you get into some kind of argument with someone about some of the medication you were taking that got pretty nasty?
Well, I would go to these classes to try and, you know, fix the problem. And we had this one guy, he was a phlebotomist, okay? So he took blood out of people.
Blood guy, yeah.
And he was phobic, germ-phobic. And he would come to the meeting every week and say, I want to stop doing this. But he wouldn't, and he wouldn't take his meds. And after a while, you kind of say, you know, I'm not here to hear you complain on a weekly basis. Do you want to get better or not? Because I really, you know, I've never done drugs or alcohol, but I'm assuming it's the same thing. Until you're ready to kick that stuff, you're not going to do it. And to come and say, I want to get better, and then don't do anything. And yes, I finally said to him, look, one of us has to leave. Either you got to keep, you know, on your meds and try to get better, or I'm leaving. And he said, see you later. And I left.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. But you're fine now.
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to be normal, but, you know, I work on it a daily. Yeah, what is normal? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look around this room.
No, we're all dented cancer.
I've been doing this show for 25 years. Yeah. And, you know, you guys are the most professional. I do two shows on a fairly regular basis, you and Preston and Steve in Philly. And just the professionalism, it's hard to find these days. But we're all sort of pioneers in doing this in broadcasting, and it doesn't exist so much anymore.
Oh, well, that's very kind.
We certainly appreciate you saying that.
That's being professional.
And we always have, we had that story a bunch about how dirty your phone is.
Yeah, they did a thing at one of the malls, and they checked phones, and 99% of them had E. coli on them. And it's,
the worst is on going up on an escalator, though. They say in touching the.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't. Yeah.
No, I don't get near it.
I balance.
Know, put on a hazmat seat.
It's like surfing.
Yeah.
Do you do the surfing motion as you
go? I hope so.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. That's cool.
Can you show us that?
I
and then
do.
You go, nar, 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 nar.
Yeah, this.
Yeah, I like that.
The endless escalator.
And then do you take your shirt tail and open bathroom doors? And
no, I don't use my shirt.
Do you take like the last paper towel?
Yes, and absolutely.
That's, but the places that only have the air dryer.
Oh, I hate those.
Yep, me too.
It's got to be shirt tail, or you go back and get toilet paper to touch the door.
But I don't want to touch the toilet paper.
Right, right.
Some of those shirt places tails, I'd have to sell the shirt.
I know.
I won't use the shirt.
I know what chicks would say, the foot thing.
The foot lever.
Yeah, well, the foot thing.
Those are great.
Well, if it's a push door.
Yes.
But if you got a pull.
But yes.
You can pull.
You can pull with the foot thing,
yeah, they have a thing where you can pull.
But they don't always have that.
But do you see the signs in some bathrooms now that says, please don't use your foot?
No.
Yes, I've seen those recently.
Oh, you mean on the handle?
Yes, because apparently it damages the handle.
Oh, people are just stepping down too hard. I guess so. Well, I'm not obeying that sign.
And I'm not averse to walking over and hitting the automatic door button with my elbow.
No, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just did that yesterday. Went to the dermatologist, walk up to the front door, and look over. Oh, there's over there. Walk over.
Oh, you mean for the handicap door thing?
Oh, yeah. So you don't touch the handle?
I don't have to touch the door.
Yeah. Boy, we're solving the world's problems.
Then I got in, and there was I walked in, and there was a lady coming in, too, and we both got in the elevator at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
Then we had this staring contest. Who's going to touch that filthy elevator button?
I use my knuckle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that makes you feel better, but it's basically the same
thing. I know, but I'm not,
And then I immediately sanitize when I get up to the...
Oh, God.
Why don't you carry a handkerchief with you? That seems like that would be
disgusting.
Handy.
When I was a kid...
No, you wouldn't blow your nose in it, but I mean touching things.
No, but then it's got all the germs on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in a restaurant the other day, and a guy was blowing his nose in a napkin and then left it on the table.
Oh,
and I
think
as a tip?
Yeah, as a tip, yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are so uncouth that he would think that now somebody has to pick that.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
You need to eat in nicer places.
What are you eating?
This should be a new talk show. Welcome to What's Disgusting. Okay, how about this one? You're in a hotel room.
Yes.
Mark Summers, you stay at some nice hotels. You're at some convention.
Right.
I would, of course, get up and go down to the coffee place or a restaurant. Do you ever make the coffee in the room and use that coffee maker?
I don't drink coffee, number one.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's how you should start. But no, I wouldn't touch it because God knows that thing probably hasn't been cleaned in 14 years.
Well, there was an internet rumor a few years ago that stewardesses, flight attendants, would put their hosiery in those.
And they're delicate.
They're delicate things.
Really?
They're unmentioned.
Underwear.
Like 20 years ago.
And clean them. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I think for some men, that might be kind of a turn. Oh, this coffee tastes.
Yes.
These Lululemon.
Notes of Sally.
Stockings coffee.
Notes of Sally. I don't think ladies wear hosiery.
Very rarely.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.